This episode of the AVIC podcast is brought to you by Murad Australia. Hello and welcome to the Beauté by AVIC podcast, your online support community for the aesthetic and beauty industry. Here, we are strengthening and unifying the industry through representation, innovation, and education. This is a platform created and dedicated to the aesthetic and beauty industry, valuing unity and advancement. We serve to represent, support, and inspire you by connecting you with industry experts, expanding your knowledge through educational pieces, and bringing you the latest industry news. This is Beauté by AVIC. I'm your host, Stephanie Miller, and today's guest is Katie Bacon from Murad Australia. Katie is a seasoned professional with over two decades of experience in the beauty, health, and wellness industry. As the Education Director for Murad, responsible for the Asia Pacific region, she leverages her expertise as a dermal therapist, clinical nutritionist, and cosmetic chemist to advocate for wellness and a scientific approach to skin health. Here to discuss the cellular impacts of cultural stress on the skin and to help practitioners discover how they can revolutionize the customer journey and consultation process to empower clients for total body wellness. From Murad Australia, today we welcome Katie Bacon. Welcome to the podcast, Katie. How are you today?
Incredible. Thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm super now that I'm with you. We're going to have such an exciting podcast. We were actually chatting before this, and what a topic to talk about. I love the term that you use, cultural stress, because I just know it as everyday stress, but putting a title like that on it really encompasses what it is that we're talking about today. And goodness me, it's going to be a jam-packed episode. But before we start, tell our listeners out there a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in the beauty and aesthetic industry.
I always laugh at that because you're like, how long have you got? Look, I've been in the beauty industry for over 20 years. So I actually started as a beauty therapist when I was 17. So I finished school and that's exactly what I wanted to do. So I went straight in there and I loved it. So I worked as a therapist in clinics, and then I also ran clinics, owned clinics. And then the time came for a little bit of a change, and I was always very good, I would say, at prescribing. I don't like the word selling because it's prescribing to your clients. And so it sort of naturally came that I would move into sales. So I've sort of worked for a variety of skincare companies, and I've been really privileged to work not only in Australia, but in the UK, across Europe, and also throughout Asia. And then I kind of moved, as I got older, more into the education space, predominantly because my own education journey evolved. So starting as a therapist, I think we're really good at asking why. I don't know if you're the same, but why? And so I studied clinical nutrition first because I always thought there was something else to skin. And this was, you know, we're talking 20 years ago. So that was probably progressive then. And I had to go to the UK to do the type of study I wanted to do. And then from there, it kind of led to other things like cosmetic chemistry and dermal therapies. So I am a bit of a study junkie because I'm always chasing the what makes us tick kind of thing. So, yeah, education seems to be my special place now, I love. So I work for Murad Skincare now, and I look after Australia and Asia Pacific. So I work across multiple countries now. And, yeah, it's a pretty rewarding job. I'm very, very lucky. I'm quite privileged, though I never would have thought I would be in this kind of job when I was in as a beauty therapist. It's amazing how life unravels when you follow your passion, right? Follow what you really enjoy. It sort of just all drops into place.
Doesn't it though? And what your journey, I didn't even know that you owned clinics. That is going to resonate very deeply with the listeners out there, because obviously our listenership is predominantly made up of professionals, but a lot of clinic owners and therapists and nurses and doctors. So wow. How long did you own some clinics?
Not long. It wasn't my sweet spot. So it's interesting when you try these hats on and you think, I can do this really well as any therapist that works at a clinic. And you think, oh, I can do this. It'll be really successful. And I was quite young. And so it was only about a year or so that I had that business, and then I realized my passion was elsewhere and there was a lot more involved. I think now if I came back to that, I would have a very different approach to business and profit and loss and management. So I fully get the passion piece, but lacking the business piece. So that was a really, I would say, a valuable lesson for me. So yeah, that a little piece of history. It's a long way back now, though.
Yeah, well, I just feel like a lot of people that will identify quite passionately and strongly with that, because we do go into it for the love of the industry and then realize, oh, there's this other thing called business and numbers. And then, you know, it's not just about what you love, it's about keeping your business afloat. So when we're educating our listeners and our audience through the podcast, I feel like sometimes we reignite that passion where they're all, you know, you're in business mode and then you get to listen to a podcast and go, yeah, this is why I love doing what I do, you know, to getting the education and helping out our patients and our clients. On that topic, we're talking about cultural stress. There's so much data, so much evidence that stress is such a key factor in how our bodies and minds work. And your particular, the brand that you work for, Murad, is led by an incredible scientist and doctor, is Dr. Howard Murad. And he has studied so deeply into this area. And he has a unique perspective on cultural stress and how really it distinguishes itself from traditional stresses. Can you explain that particular unique view?
Yeah, well, I might actually give you a bit of a backstory for the listeners that maybe don't know who Dr. Murad is. He's actually in his mid-80s now, so by no means a young man, but a wonderful man nonetheless. And so he's a board-certified dermatologist, he's a pharmacist, and he's also a clinical researcher. And so about 20-plus years ago, he had a very famous dermatology practice in the US, and he was noticing that his patients were aging in a way they shouldn't be for their age. He was noticing that inflammation was apparent on the skin that it shouldn't be, or probably all these things that we notice with our skin, right? Like unusual kind of accelerated problems that you wouldn't expect to see. And so he was well known that you would have these very long consultations where he would really try to understand who you were as a person, not necessarily what your skin disease was. And so what he was really finding from all of his patients was that their stress levels were increasing. And so he was making this correlation very early on that stress had a profound impact into how accelerated their aging would be, or whether they had various inflammatory skin diseases. So he actually started doing a lot of clinical research, and he's written a couple of white papers on the topic, which I can make public to all of you. And so he really coined this term cultural stress, as we've been talking about. So it's different to, we were saying this offline actually, like a broken arm or a death in the family. These are kind of like everyday normal things that would happen, tragic but normal. Whereas cultural stress is what we would say is that pressure from those modern societal norms, right? Our fast-paced lifestyles, that always on kind of mobile device. And actually, coincidentally, 20 years ago is when the mobile device came into our lives, right? So there's a lot to answer for with the phone. It's something we can't live without, but how that's intruded into our lives and the way our body responds, our body doesn't really know the difference between 200 emails in our inbox and running from a saber-toothed tiger. That stress response is the same. And we know that ongoing stress, which is what we have every day, right, is going to affect our mental and our physical health. And it leads to things like anxiety, depression, and of course, inflammatory skin issues, which we're going to talk about. So Dr. Murad has really wanted to look at how that has affected the skin, but also then what we can do about that. So namely, what he noticed was that having elevated stress hormones, particularly cortisol, during these times of stress was going to lead to things like acne. And that was actually a big driver, as he was noticing, with acne, oiliness in the skin. I mentioned accelerated skin aging. So actually our collagen elastin breaks down faster when we have high levels of cortisol. So if anything, vanity should make us want to take a little bit of time out a little bit. But not only that it affects our skin other than inflammation, we also know it's going to affect us psychologically. So we have this mental toll, this emotional well-being. We're constantly drained. We have a huge amount of pressure to meet I would say, society expectations, right? We need to excel in our everyday lives. Both you and I are a bit type A, so we can relate to that, right? Yeah, so we being always on, we've noticed a society where we're becoming more anxious, more depressed. We definitely have more feelings of inadequacy. We also have this pressure of digital connection, right? So we compare ourselves more than others. We have more self-esteem issues. So these social media is a big factor of these elements, but we can't turn it off. So it's not like we can just walk away. It's always there. So these are what we kind of call cultural stress, right? So chronic ingrained daily habits from our routines. Additionally, what feeds into this is long work hours. You know, we're sitting at our desk. They say sitting is the new smoking. We have sedentary lifestyles now because we're busy. We're not necessarily getting time to do activities that bring us joy or go for those exercise because we've just got to send one more email or we've just got to do one more client. And then we also, when we're stressed, we have poor dietary habits. You know, we grab that sugary thing or that extra cup of coffee and the dry shampoo because we don't necessarily have that time to make those nutritious meals. And we perhaps then don't necessarily have as good sleep or good quality sleep. So all of these kind of factors lead into that concept of cultural stress.
Goodness me, I feel like you have just spoken to my life. Everybody else that's listening. I was having this conversation. I think I had it three times this week, and I have heard the exact description that you've just said emotionally out of the mouths of a few business owners. They are just completely overwhelmed, always on. First thing you do is pick up your phone in the morning to see all the problems that are facing you on the day. And the shock of that to your system every morning, rather than, you know, waking up, going for a nice walk or eating healthily and not putting dry shampoo in your hair, actually shampooing your hair. It sounds so weird that this is a thing in our day, but it really is. And then all of that, and then we wonder why we look tired. We wonder why our skin is inflamed. We wonder why we have these particular skin concerns. And then I own clinics as well. So we're seeing this every day in our patient's skin when they come in and they are fully inflamed or they have some kind of inflammation based concern. Your clinicians are left wondering what is going on, you know, what is going on? And you're talking about all of these contributing factors, but what is actually happening on a cellular level? How does it impact us internally at a cell level?
Well, I don't think, and that's actually a really valid point. It's what we see from a client perspective. It's what the client sees in the mirror, but we don't often think about what's happening in the body as well. Like if we're seeing it, what else is happening, right? And we know everyone talks about the central nervous system, right? We know that our emotions and our physical health are linked together. And I really love this concept of psychodermatology. I think there's a lot of research right now into this and it's only going to grow. And I think it's something that I encourage all of your listeners to really go out and learn more about and how you can integrate it into your services. But what one system I particularly really love if we're looking at a cellular is NICE or neuroimmunocutaneous endocrine system, which you've probably heard of. Now, this system actually links the nervous system, your immune system, your skin, and your endocrine functions, which is a lot of things together, right? And this sort of system or trilogy of areas of our body are important to our physical, emotional, and our mental health. So we know that emotional stresses can trigger our brain to change immune function. They can change our hormones. They can trigger inflammation, right? So everything is connected. And I always think, what is happening by our skin? Our skin is our bodyguard, right? It's the largest organ of our body. It's our defense system. And we kind of just think about it as a bit of a defense system and we want to make it look nice, but it's actually our immune system. It's a secondary line of our defense. And so something like a sunburn is a really good example, right? So we burn our skin, but then that's also going to give us a headache. We may become dehydrated. We're going to feel nauseous. So that's a really good example of how actually our skin is going to affect those systems in the body. And then conversely, perhaps what's happening internally is communicated by, say, our nervous system. So, for example, it could be you're embarrassed or something's happened and you're going to have hives or break out in a blush, right? And so we know that there is this relationship between the internal and external world for our body. And I always like to tell people there are 37.2, that's very specific, isn't it? But 37.2 trillion cells in your body. Every single one of them is connected. And so I guess if we were to have to look at a system level, what's happening, Well, firstly, we're going to have activated stress response, right? So that stressful situation, whether it's from societal pressures or constant connectivity or just general day, modern day demands, business owners, life, we're going to have that stress response stimulated. We're going to get that rush of hormones, such as cortisol, we've sort of been talking about, from the adrenal glands. And this becomes taxing when it's continually stimulated, as you would know, and as we feel. And then the impact is directly on our skin cells, right? So it works on various mechanisms. So we have an increase in oil production by the sebaceous glands. So it can lead to acne breakouts. We have an impaired ability to retain moisture. So our skin barrier becomes more leaky. So it's going to contribute to dryness and irritation. We'll also have poorer wound healing, which is important, particularly if you've got clinicians or practitioners. So if we're doing these wonderful treatments that we do that are going to stimulate wound healing and inflammation, if we've already got high levels of fire and inflammation in the body, how good is your wound healing going to be? We also have inflammatory mediators. So if your clients are prone to eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, rosacea, these are all going to be made worse during times of stress. So it could help them to understand how their mental health, their lifestyles could actually reduce the severity of their conditions. We know that clients become more reactive and more sensitive as well when they're stressed. And I've already mentioned we break down our collagen and elastin faster. And then lastly, I guess we have behavioral responses when we're stressed, right? So it's a vicious cycle. So when we're stressed, we tend to have unhealthy coping mechanisms. If you're not one of these, you can turn the podcast off, you get a gold star. But I'm definitely probably one that's guilty of poor dietary choices, because if I'm busy, I might not take time for lunch. I'll just go, what can I eat with one hand? And I'll sit at my laptop, or I'll be chatting to clients and we'll eat on the go in a powwow or a meeting. And it's something quick and easy, which is very rarely nutritious. And then additionally, that affects sleep. So if we're not sleeping, we're not regenerating. And we're kind of building that further kind of impact for the body.
Murad Skincare is the number one dermatologist-founded brand in the USA, with over 30 years of unmatched, clinically proven results that are backed by Dr. Murad's industry-first research as a board-certified dermatologist and pharmacist. Murad formulas don't consider just one symptom or concern. They address total skin health, utilizing proprietary active technologies for unmatched efficacy and proven results. From anti-aging and acne clearing to hydrating and brightening solutions, there's a reason why Murad is used and endorsed by over 80,000 dermatologists and skincare professionals. To discover the power of Murad skincare for your own business, start your journey at murad.com.au to receive your free discovery product pack.
Further to that, we also don't make time for self-care. So when you're busy, you're not necessarily going to go to the gym because you're a bit tired. You just want to chill out because you're exhausted. Perhaps you can't focus, so you might not do any meditation. You might not want to see friends and family, so you're not getting that social connection. So yeah, it's very much a vicious cycle with how it affects us.
With you speaking, I was just reminded of a study that I read with regards to a limited resource being tenacity and willpower, and how your very busy lifestyle and the fact that we need to make an amplified amount of decisions now taps into the reserve of the willpower, because they believe that, you know, this is a limited resource. There is a controversy there in terms of studies that tell you that no, there is a well that you can tap into. But in particular, when it comes to stress and being under those types of constant everyday, we call it low-grade stress or cultural stress. It's continued. It's not one big burst of stress and then it goes away. That type of stress can affect what you were talking about, willpower and tenacity. And that is, you reach for the foods that probably aren't the greatest for you.
Yeah, you reach for that coffee.
Yeah, you don't have the mindset and resilience to go for a walk. So we're not being lazy. We just have run out of the reservoir that we have in order to be able to propel us to make those more difficult but more sustainable long-term choices. And similarly, there's a study that says if you go for the sugary or the quick glucose burst, your brain actually rewards you and does respond with being more mentally clear. So we get constantly rewarded by doing these things that are probably not great for us. You know, picking up our phone, answering an email then gives you a dopamine hit or an oxytocin hit. If you quickly, you know, someone loves your post, you do that. And you're relying on these quick little fixes to keep you going momentarily. And then the long-term stress adds up. So it's so interesting what you were saying, because it makes so much sense. Even if we want to do these things, we're tapped out. We don't have that reserve. Can you actually help us to understand that intricate connection between the central nervous system, which I was just referring to, and physical health?
Yeah, well, we sort of talked about that central nervous system a bit, that it is all connected. But I think what you've said really is that the resiliency is gone. So I think this, we see this a lot in mums, and a lot of our clients are kind of mums that pop in, you know, they've dropped their kids off, they've maybe not had great sleep. So it's trying to tap into ways that we can build more resiliency in our lives, right? So our body is amazingly resilient at coping. And so that's why we can push it to the edge until almost we feel like there's nothing left. But it's very easy to get back into resiliency. Things like taking those 10 deep breaths a couple of times a day, like setting an alarm on your phone and going, okay, I'm just going to step away in nature, in sunshine, and having daylight on my eyes for 10 minutes while I take 10 deep breaths. That resets your nervous system. It's very hard for your body to think it's in fight or flight if you're breathing deeply, because you don't breathe deeply and fully when you're in a state of stress. And probably everyone listening to this podcast, if you're on the way to work or rushing to drop kids off, you're probably all like, we breathe shallowly when we're stressed, right? So if we can be mindful on our breathing, that's actually a really profound start that you can make to sort of put us back into that rest and digest mode, or that parasympathetic mode, which is quite important.
I love what you've just said. The deep breaths, another study that says, do your autonomic nervous systems just, you know, haywire when you're in that fight or flight? 10 deep breaths is great. And then have you heard of I think it's called the autonomic sigh. It's the double breath.
Yes.
Breathing twice quite deeply and dramatically, and that resets your nervous system as well. So if you're thinking, oh, I do deep breathe, I do sit there and it's not working, there are other breathing techniques as well that you can adopt that actually reset in a quite fast fashion. Look it up, because it is a 2-second fix, isn't it?
Yeah, can be easy. And then setting those boundaries, I'm very guilty of this myself. So, but setting those boundaries for yourself with, I would say, digital time. That's the hardest thing to do, because it wires your brain like a drug. So if we can have that time and educate our clients that actually they need to put the device away because it's driving, you know, all of these things we've mentioned. And even if they can prioritize a couple of hours a day where they don't have a device in their hand or the TV on, because most of us are now multi-screening, right? We're not only at work, we're at the computer during the day. We've got our mobile phone next to us. We go home, we pop Netflix on, we stream our favorite show, but guaranteed we're either watching something on TikTok or, you know, social media, or trying to connect via there. Maybe we've even got Uber Eats at the same time because we're too tired to cook. So
It's a real thing, multi-screening. Oh my God, I never thought to call it like this. This is what I do. I think everybody does that without even thinking. In your view though, I mean, let's have a, you know, I suppose talk about the part of our society that drives this. Do you think that our Western society actually downplays the link between emotion, skin appearance and you know, your overall health, really, and really underestimate that it's the cultural stress that's causing it?
We talked about this offline, actually. So I believe 100%. I also have another business, which is a holistic business I run as well, which is very much all about Eastern medicine. But I do believe that we haven't built a human needs first society. That makes sense. We built a business needs society. So we don't prioritize the person, which I think is a very Western thing, right? We prioritize profit a lot of the time. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the balance. And so we know it affects sort of our health and our well-being. And it's this prioritization of the hustle, I call it, right? We're always hustling for something, whether it's to get something done or be productive or clean the house. It's kind of like this constant checkbox of things to do. And I do feel, particularly in English speaking cultures, we don't see rest as an integral part of our health, or mainly because it's not productive, right? It's this kind of thing that we've been wired with, that we constantly have to be doing something or completing a task to be feeling like we're contributing. And I would say that also, if we look at medicine in general, modern Western medicine typically employs a reductionist approach. I don't know if you agree. So we treat symptoms, we treat disease reactively. So it's like, okay, now you've got a disease, let's do something about it, right? So we've got medicine and surgery, which of course we wouldn't be here without. It's vital. But if we kind of contrast that then with Eastern medicine, this is rooted more in that holistic philosophy. So we're going to be looking at emphasizing prevention, and it has more of a balanced view, kind of looking at the harmony of the mind, body, and spirit. So I guess the key is to bring those two together. And I guess a question for your audience, and maybe I'll pause while you think about it, is how many people listening right now, including you, Steph, give themselves guilt-free permission to do nothing?
Well, you snuck in the word guilt-free in there. So
yeah. No, but that's it. We feel guilty if we want to sit down and put your feet up because you think, oh, I'm being idle. If you grew up with a very English family like mine, sitting down was the worst thing you could ever do. You were lazy. Mm. But more is coming out about how the fact that rest is not passive, right? It's essential. And if we link back to the nervous system, as you mentioned, Steph, earlier, we have, I think this is wild, it blows my brain, but 80 billion neurons that fire quadrillion times per day that keep us alive. Just think about that number. That is wild. And so our body actually is never passive, even at rest. So we shouldn't really underestimate how our nervous system's ability to talk to each of our systems as part of that kind of nice we discussed is so profound. And our nervous system is actually going to be the one that helps us heal. It's going to be the one that helps us thrive, and it's going to be the one that helps regulate all of these systems in the body so that we can achieve those goals for our clients. So if we bring it back to what we do in clinic, then we want to get our clients results. We want to have them feeling good, not only on the outside, but how rewarding. We can make our clients look and feel amazing, right? That is a gift that we have as practitioners. But if we can give them the gift of helping them rethink maybe some of the things they do in their life so they can bring balance to themselves, how profound.
I was just thinking, we always talk about the problem, you know, in our society where, oh yes, we're stressed, oh yes, you know, these are the things that are contributing to the way we're feeling. But what are some actual practical strategies that people, individuals, and also businesses can bring into their daily routine, adopt, and help them navigate these really complex challenges that we face every day?
I'd like to say it's easy, and it is. It sounds really easy to do, but it's doing it is a whole other thing. But I like to think of four core pillars. So eating your food, so eat your water. So eating water-rich, nutrient-dense food that's high in fiber, low in sugar. So Mediterranean diet, I think everyone can do pretty easily across all skill sets. I can't cook, and even I can do a Mediterranean diet. And reducing that sugar load. So that is definitely, food is really the key to addressing that, because it's going to build resilience and strengthen the body. Then we want to look at mental health. So looking at journaling, meditations, and if that's not for you, then how can you build that time? Is it a walk in nature, taking your shoes off and walking in grass, or going to yoga and being forced to have that time away from your phone, for example? It looks different for everybody, deep breathing, but just finding a way that you can then really just have those mindful moments for yourself. Social connection is another big one. So it was really interesting, post-COVID, they really highlighted that isolation was a big driver of disease. And I think you would have heard it all on the news. So post-COVID, social isolation was highlighted as one of the most serious threats to mental and physical health. It resulted in the elderly and a lot of deaths. And it shows in a lot of studies that you have increased heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So making sure that we're connecting with people in the person, not on the phone or online, is really key to keeping balance in life. And then, of course, treatments, skincare, looking after that cutaneous system is really important. But interestingly, Dr. Murad ran another study quite recently, which was 2022, which was Murad Medical Group and Unilever Research. They did a joint study, and this was to identify whether journaling and meditation on its own with no lifestyle, no exercise, no other changes would have an impact onto total body health and wellness. So they chose 11 statements or insights or like little meditations, as you will. And these were specifically chosen due to several factors of psychology of emotion. So that was optimism, satisfaction, emotional regulation, and gratitude. So they were all based around these elements. And it was really to create more resiliency in self. And what they actually found was amazing. After 4 weeks, and it was a small pilot study, but after 4 weeks of this daily meditation and journaling, stress levels had reduced. Heart rate and blood pressure had reduced, and their cells became more hydrated. So actually the intracellular water that they measured improved. So you can actually think yourself healthier effectively. And so that was just from a few mindful moments of 11, not even anything crazy, like 11 mindfulness cards and journaling could have a profound impact into the cellular health. So if that can do that, you can then understand how stress can then have the opposite impact. So I think that's amazing.
I love the fact that you said you can think yourself healthy. And I'm a subscriber of that. I know it sounds woo-woo, but it's actually not anymore. It's actual data, scientific data behind the fact that you can think yourself well. It's what your mind believes, your body then manifests, but in a scientific way.
Absolutely. There's so much research around it now. So hopefully the Eastern cultures have always been across this Buddhism and all those sorts of things. So hopefully we're getting on board now as we want to live healthy, well lives. And look, we all know exercise, right? It's really important. It's those happy endorphins. We know muscle holds more water than fat. So it's incredibly good at keeping our bodies hydrated, increasing our metabolism. We know nutritionally balanced foods, as we've kind of discussed, sleep, these all help with our resiliency to stress and boosting those happy hormones. And I'm sure everyone knows this, but 90% of serotonin is made in our guts. And I think there was actually a really amazing study that they did in jails. And don't quote me because it's been a long time since I read it. But I think they had people that had behavioral issues in jail that they gave fish oil to. And they was able to show a profound impact into their behavior and the way that they approached life, which just shows you simple things can have a profound effect. And then additionally, sort of, we talked a little bit about this, but social connection. I always like to talk about this because that sense of community is really lacking in our interconnected world. And we're becoming more insular, more isolated, which I think drives to that mental health issue. And we have this gift as practitioners, right? It's very powerful. We have these, our hands, and we have this healing power of touch, and we have the gift of time with that client. So that client is seeing you and they've given themselves permission to have time. So it doesn't matter if it's laser or peels or needling or injectable or even a spa treatment, that's time. And so you have the ability to have a profound effect on them should you choose and integrate some wellness into whatever treatment that you do, so they can walk away from that treatment thinking that they've left their worries behind, so to speak. Coincidentally, post-COVID, they said that social isolation was highlighted as one of the most serious threats to our mental and physical health. And they've actually linked it to heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So being more connected with people around us is also part of our healthcare journey.
That's so profound. I suppose something good came out of COVID to identify something that we've known inherently but never could quantify it. And that social connection and having that personal one-on-one, and not, we're not talking about over social media, we're talking about in person, actual deep real connections. And I think what is so special about, people have taken time out of their day to come to see you for a service, whatever that may be, but that's time for them, and that's time to reset them or to give them back that self-care. We've not only can we help them, we have a responsibility to do so because we have them in our hands for that period of time. As practitioners in really what is the beauty industry, but it's the health and wellness industry that we fall into. How can we actually reshape that customer experience and journey to empower clients for total body wellness, you know, mitigate some of that cultural stress for them?
There's a few things that we can do. Firstly, it's overhauling the way we approach our consultation process. Nurses actually do this really, really well because they have such a huge consult element built into their services. But it's an opportunity for business. So bringing it then into a more business owner spec, because sometimes you can hear podcasts like this and you think, oh, well, how do I make money from something like this? This sounds amazing, but how do I make money? And I think in a climate like we're in, where money we have to work harder for, right? We have to provide more. People expect so much more from us than they would before. And there's so much choice, right? You're competing with incredible people in the industry. So what makes your service different to somebody else's service? And the reason a client will come back to you time and time again is one, that connection. So building that real in-person connection with your clients and making them feel like they're part of a community. And the second piece is, what are you doing in your treatments and part of their journey that's above and beyond just a laser treatment or just an eyebrow wax or just an eyelash tint? You know, if you're doing an eyelash tint, why aren't you doing a head massage? Don't leave your client. So many people do. And so what you choose to do as these little touch points is part of your repeat business. And that's going to make you more profitable. It's much better to retain a client than it is to constantly be recruiting for one. But if we're looking specifically about what we can do to integrate wellness, I always say, relook at how you're doing the consult. How long do you allow? And then what are you asking your clients about? Is it just a checkbox that they're coming in and going, yep, they're not contraindicated? Well, how do you know what's going on in their life? Because we've just discovered it's like an iceberg. Like, you need to ask some questions about what's going on. Because if a client had really red inflamed skin and a bit of rosacea, I would be like, hey, talk to me about what, do you like your kids right now? You know, are they giving you grief? How are you and your husband? You know, are you sleeping? Are you exercising? How's work? And they'll probably tell you, no, I hate my husband. My kids are driving me nuts. I haven't slept in days. I've got deadlines, or I'm at uni, or I'm highly stressed. I've been eating rubbish. And you quite quickly then get a picture that all is not well with them at home. And so this may be the reason that their skin is functioning the way it is, because their chances are they've come to you to help fix their skin. I'm really puffy. I'm noticing these lines and wrinkles that have just appeared overnight. My skin's dull. I'm reacting to products I've used all the time. These are things we probably all hear all the time. But unless we take time to ask those real life questions of our clients, we can never understand what is happening to then have proper diagnosis and then also have proper treatment programs or plans or pivot. Because chances are a lot of people book in for these wonderful services that we love doing as practitioners. Like, I love a bit of needling and some high strength peels. I'm like, great, I could do that all day, every day, right? But if my client is coming in and they've booked in for that, I wouldn't necessarily go ahead and do that. I have the power of choice, right? But I think it's having that strength from within to say, actually, no, this isn't the right treatment for you today. I can see that your barrier is compromised, your skin is inflamed. These treatments are designed to create inflammation to have wound healing, or whatever we're designing to do, right? And so what you actually need is the opposite. We need to reduce inflammation. We need to calm your nervous system. We need to get your barrier healthy so we can put you in the best possible position so that when we do that treatment, you're going to get great wound healing. You're going to get great collagen induction. We're going to have a really good outcome. Now, that conversation is so different for that client, because they're like, wow, that person really cares about me, my experience. And now you've got them for a longer program. Whereas chances are they'd go somewhere else and they'll go, yeah, sure, we'll do that for you. What's going to happen? Hopefully nothing. But, you know, chances are they might be reactive. They'll not get the outcome that they want. They're not going to be happy, and they're not going to feel cared for. So that's why wellness as part of a consult is important. Something we do at Murad is we actually take blood pressure before and after a treatment. And that allows us to show our clients that a skincare treatment is healthcare, because the power of touch and just taking that time out for yourself to have, you know, I mean, hopefully they all fall asleep on the bed. Does it most of the time, even if it's a peel. So that shows them that actually investing in their skin is investing in their health. And again, all of these things are subliminal, because you know, some people are like, well, it's my home care, or it's my treatment, or it's, you know, my yoga or my Pilates or my whatever, my boot camp or F45, or it's my facial. And it's about demonstrating to your clients it's not one or the other. It's this synergy of things that are going to define your wellness.
I love the way that you just, I could hear you speak all day.
Sorry, sometimes I waffle. So
no, it's just so beautiful listening to, you know, all of your knowledge, all of your expertise, and you're so generous with that knowledge. And I know that you're part of Murad, and Murad is an incredible partner of ABIC and a huge supporter of the industry. So thank you so much, Murad, for looking after our industry and really giving back in that way. Also for being generous with all that information. It is really prompted, I think, our listeners after this podcast to rethink their customer journey, rethink how can we make it more meaningful. And more meaningful for them doesn't mean that we lose anything. It actually means that we are enhancing the experience for that patient, for that client, and they will then return and be loyal to us. And I love the fact that you take blood pressure before and after. That is so innovative. I mean, that's a game changer, even just introducing that into your processes. I know it sounds like adding a little bit of time, but what you're doing is you're adding loyalty. You're adding that person saying, I actually want to rebook now. You've given them a reason to rebook other than, you know, the vanity play, which, oh, you know, we want to look good, so that's why we're coming in. Actually, it's good for our health, not just the way we look. So...
And this works, Steph. Dr. Murad in his medical practice, he saw more than 50,000 patients in his career while he had that practice. And he had all of his dermal therapists doing the wellness program alongside his dermatology practice. So we've demonstrated that it works, and it makes money in itself because you have that retention. And I think if we're talking about that connectivity, it doesn't have to cost you money or time. You can connect with people in your community. I imagine everyone listening would know a naturopath or a nutritionist, or they would know a mental health provider. Like, I would love to see more mental health providers coming into the aesthetic space, because how we look and how we feel link into our mental health. And so you could work with these people to create ebooks or education content or cross refer. And again, this is building that community. And, you know, there's so much that people can do to empower them as business owners or practitioners, but then also for their clients. It's a fun thing that we can explore, and there's no limit to it.
And it is fun, isn't it? It's fun helping people. It's such a sense of a reward for us to do that. Likewise, having you on this podcast is, you know, it's so fun, and it's helping people at the same time. So we hope that you out there listening have retained some things that you can implement in your lives and your businesses as well. I know that I'm going to be implementing head massages with our low-level laser treatments at the same time. Rather than just having a chit-chat, let's do a hand or head massage. And I think that will actually help the process. I think that might actually even help the results, because if you calm that patient right down whilst they're having a treatment like that, I think you might be able to get even better results from it. So, wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much, Katie. Please come back again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and thank you so much, community.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Beauté by ABIC podcast, your online support community for the aesthetic and beauty industry. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay connected.